News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. This is WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here at the anchor desk. On the other side of the glass, Rob Center is ready to go for another great week of taking good care of things. So we appreciate him being a producer this morning. In the studio with us now, we are so glad to say that Kathy Paul is here. Lots of folks know about her over at Evangelical Community Hospital. She's the director of hospice there. So, Kathy, thank you so much for coming in. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, wonderful to meet you. I've heard a lot about you. We hear a lot about the hospice program. It's certainly superlative by every measurable parameter, and so and we know that you're out there in the community doing the work, too. So thank you. Thank you very much for coming in. Explain what hospice is. I think that might help. You have to kind of separate it from palliative care, so talk about that, please.
So hospice care is a care that focuses on serving people and their families who have life-limiting illnesses and providing them quality of care during that time, quality of life, just helping them kind of reap the best of, of what they can.
Okay. And is it always end-of-life care?
It is typically end-of-life care, yes.
Okay. So you got to keep that sort of caveat in mind. And then you hear the term palliative care. I've heard it multiple times. I'm not quite sure I could even define palliative care, but that is different.
It is very different than hospice care. So palliative care is a service where individuals can seek curative treatments such as chemotherapy, radiation therapy, while palliative care staff is helping them manage their symptoms, whatever those might be, while they're going through those treatments. Hospice care is different in that people are no longer seeking those curative treatments, and they're focused more on comfort and symptom management.
All right, so you may be pain management, be doing pain management, or just making those last days or weeks as comfortable as possible?
That's exactly correct.
What kind of a calling is that? I mean, I would have to think, you know, if you have a successful outcome with the family, everybody's sad. You know, so how did you get involved in this business?
I actually had a personal experience. My brother passed away, and we lived in a rural community similar to Lewisburg, where there was not a hospice service that was available. And it was just my mother and I taking care of him, and I feel like he was deserved. We didn't have the education to take care of him. We didn't have the medications that we needed to take care of him. And his death could have been much more peaceful and dignified had we had that. So that's what brings me to this program.
Well, peaceful for the patient, but peaceful for the family that's helping or trying. In your case, you were trying to do caregiving and had a lot of unanswered questions.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay, so hospice can help with that now.
That's right.
24/7.
Yes, we are available to help with that 24/7.
365.
365, rain or shine.
All right, so this is an on-call situation. I mean, there's certainly daytime appointments, we'll assume, that sort of the more conventional. But this becomes a significantly comprehensive program for people to be sort of enrolled in.
Yes. It's not just about the medical care. I mean, we're taking care of the patient, but we're also supporting and helping and educating the family. When the patient does actually pass, there's a bereavement program that our social worker helps with. We follow that family for 13 months past the time when the person passes and provide support.
All right. So you're going to keep on answering questions and keep on helping and providing, assisting wherever possible. All right. So you are a nurse. Most of the staff is nurses, registered nurses?
Yes. We have all registered nurses on staff. We also have hospice aides who work with us. We have a social worker. We have a chaplain. We have a volunteer liaison. We have volunteers. So it's really a comprehensive, holistic program.
Are there physicians who work for your program in particular?
Yes. We have medical directors who certainly are very integral in helping us kind of evolve the plans of care. Three medical directors currently at this time.
Okay. So you're doing that. And you have volunteers. Tell me about the role of volunteers here.
Our volunteers are amazing. They're either individuals in the community who have been touched by the hospice program or retired teachers or whoever they are. But what they do for us, they can come into the office, they can provide staff support, or they go out into the community and with our patients and our families. Maybe a family member needs to go to an appointment, but they're the person who's caring for the one who's ill. That volunteer can step in and provide an hour or two of respite so that that person can continue to get the self-care that they need. They can also go in and sit with patients who just need companionship. They're very vital in what we do.
Okay, yeah, just spend some time with them. Maybe passing the time is more difficult, but a couple hours spent in that way can be pretty valuable.
Yes.
What kind of an aid? I could see a registered nurse, you have experience with it, and now this is your career. But what kind of an angel volunteers?
I know, volunteer. I can't say enough about the volunteers that we have. They are always willing to go out to help, to make sure that our patients are best served. And they... No matter what the task is that we ask them, they never say no.
Yeah, I think that's if you look for the halo, I guess,
yeah.
Honest to Pete, you'd almost have to do that. Well, let's talk about this. The Medicare services gave Evan Hospital a 5-star rating. So they broke it, as you can imagine. They don't just say, okay, well, we got good ratings on Amazon or something. They have a very specific series of criteria. Tell us about that.
They do. There are surveys that are sent out to families, and the families, of course, put the input back in, and then that is reviewed and compiled and then broken into different sections. There's information about how were the families respected? Did they receive timely care? Is this a hospice that you would recommend? All sorts of different criteria, and that's how they compile the information and provide the ratings.
Okay, so let's kind of dig into that then. Let's look at respect. It is feasible that somebody involved in the medical profession would not be as respectful as they could be, let's say, either the situation that's happening or to the family. Explain that worst-case scenario. What are we talking about when we talk about respect that might be lacking?
I would think that what we look for when we're talking about respect is kind of hearing the families, understanding what the families need, and, you know, this is not a job, it's a calling. We need to be there for the families. So respecting what their wishes are. Just because maybe a nurse or a physician might think that this is the best plan of action for the patient, if the family isn't comfortable with that, that's not something we're going to push forward with. We have to still respect those boundaries. Somebody who would be going in and just kind of doing it carte blanche would be a disrespectful kind of situation.
I got you. Okay. So let's go to the other end of the extreme, and this is the kind of service you do provide. Fully respectful, fully listening to what they say, not making these big decisions for them, or any size decisions for them.
Right.
Never saying you should.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, there's kind of a misconception that when hospice is involved that we kind of come in and we take over. And that's really not what we're about at all. We're coming in to support you. The families and the patients are the ones who are still in control. We're just trying to educate, trying to help them, trying to develop a plan so that they can get the best from the service.
All right. So this is this idea of just being a tremendous assistant. It's the family. Well, it's the patient, and then the families are the deciders, and hospice is there to provide support and so on. Explain this communication. You mentioned listening about 4 times in there. So you guys are the natural-born listeners and the helpers.
These families, these patients and families are under an incredible amount of stress. They're grieving, they're caretaking. Sometimes they're isolated from their social life because they're caretaking and they're working 24/7. So they need somebody to have somebody to listen to them who can understand and relate and maybe guide them on how to manage some of the feelings that they're having or the grief that they're feeling. So listening is definitely key in this job. Having an answer isn't always the best thing.
Well, and I think sometimes, not hospice volunteers, but I think physicians have a certain language that they use that may not always be helpful in a hospice situation. Elaborate on what I just said, that sometimes docs may not have precisely the right words, but words that could serve as much as some other words would.
Well, you know, I think about it as a specialty. You know, you have a cardiologist, you have a pulmonologist, you have a family doctor. Everybody has a specialty, and hospice is a specialty. So it would be difficult to ask a cardiologist to talk about hospice services because that's not something that they're used to talking about. So for a cardiologist or a pulmonologist or somebody to kind of have that conversation with their patient is difficult and cumbersome because it's not their norm.
Okay, and you're there to help fill in those blanks and bridge the sort of help, maybe translate, I guess, for
right.
lack of a better phrase, or to tell the patient, look, docs treat and use chemo and do all these other things. You do not have to necessarily have that because, you know, that may change the disease a little bit, but it may not change the outcome, and so you have to make a decision,
right.
you know, based not just on the doctor's 2 cents. Well, there is a lot more to talk about this, and so we are going to take a break, but we'll come back at 7:40. I'm so glad to see that Kathy Paul is going to stay around. She's a registered nurse, is the director of hospice at Evangelical Community Hospital. You can reach them at 570-522-2550. evanhospital.com/hospice is the way to go. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about sort of the parameters that went into that 5-star rating. You mentioned a willingness to recommend. That's kind of a hard thing for folks in a medical community to come away with. But if you are in a hospice situation and you're recommended, I think that says something. Okay, I think that's a pretty superlative remark. So we will talk about that with Kathy Paul when we return on WDKOK Sunrise. And thank you so much for joining us on WDKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here. Rob Sanders back at the Monday morning spot where he'll stay all week taking great care of us during Sunrise. And on the mark, he is our producer. And he is why the interview that we've conducted so far, plus this one, will be popping up on the WDKOK podcast page as the hours progress today. So we appreciate him doing that as well. We're now halfway through our interview with Kathy Paul. She is a registered nurse and is the director of hospice of Evangelical Community Hospital. She told us the difference between hospice and palliative care. Now, hospice generally deals with a life-limiting and what will turn out to be a life-shortening disease or ailment for individuals, and you make sure quality of life is there. Typically, some of the medical treatments that can prolong life may be curtailed by then, so it's almost always end of life.
Yes, it is almost always end of life, and it's either the patient is not getting benefit from the treatments, they're choosing to stop the treatments because they're more concerned about their quality of life, or there's treatments that are not available to them.
Okay, or they're not going to work. Sometimes the docs just say that this is, we've done what we can here. You got a 5-star rating. Well, you in particular, but the whole program in general, got a 5-star rating from one of the Medicare parameters where they really talked about what sets hospice apart at even from maybe some others, and this is all from patients. They get to make the patients and families get to make their ratings after you've done your service. One of the things they talked about is what we talked about earlier, this idea of listening, making sure that you're there to hear what the families have to say.
Yes. Respect is a big part of kind of that 5-star rating. Treating the families with respect, providing emotional and spiritual support, all of those things kind of delve into what helps people make the decision about where they're going to rate us.
In what way is emotional and spiritual support? How does that pan out? Explain what that entails.
Well, if you think about going through the hospice journey, you know, people are grieving because they are aware that their loved one will eventually pass. And they're trying to provide caregiving opportunities for their loved one. They're oftentimes setting their own grief or emotional feelings to the back. And so our social worker, our chaplain, can kind of help them and support them with those types of issues so that they can continue to caregive for their loved one, but also feel supported during the process.
And as much of your service is for the family as is for the patient.
Yes, it is. It is about the entire unit.
Okay, so talk about that, this idea, and maybe this would be a great time for you to recap very briefly. Part of your calling for this came from you dealt with a brother who died very young in Michigan, and there was not, at that time, a lot of hospice available.
No, that is correct. I didn't even know about hospice at that time, and learning about it much afterwards, and then, of course, going into this when I found out what it was. It really could have benefited us. You know, we could have had education to help us not be so anxious about what was going to happen. We could have had support to help us kind of through while we were caregiving. You know, maybe receive some of that spiritual support if that was what we desired. And the medical help that the nurses and the physicians could have helped us with. Doing that on your own is very difficult.
Well, and I think part of that is the respect, the fact that the medical care system in that rural part of Michigan just was not set up to support. I'm not sure respect is the right word, but just to raise up and really make families, number one, whether you're going to treat them to prolong life or treat them to make them comfortable at end of life. It just wasn't set up for that.
Correct. Yes.
And you talked about the dialogue with physicians. You have your own physician, a medical director within hospice, who I guess knows the lingo would be the sort of the flip way to say it, but really knows how to talk to patients and understands what patients and families may understand.
Right. Yes. Our physicians are a very integral part of what we do, and they, they are the ones who are helping us decide whether people meet the criteria to come onto the program. They're helping us with, you know, say we get a patient that maybe as a nurse we're kind of out of options. We've tried what we know. The physicians are there to support the staff so that the patient is getting the best benefit with whatever symptom they're having. So they're not only kind of leading the program, but they're a great resource for us and a great resource for the patients and the family.
All right. And you will have nurses provide the direct care to the patient, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So you will have help for pain and symptoms. I mean, a doctor has to recommend them, right? But a nurse can administer them.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Yep. The medical directors all kind of guide our care.
Okay, so you, and I think that's important because you may hear that volunteers get involved in this, and we'll talk a little bit more about them in a moment, but they're not docs or nurses, but nurses and docs are involved, and so the medicine is going to be part of this, pain medicine, if that's what it is, and so on. Well, let's talk about this idea for volunteers. Are you looking for volunteers?
We are absolutely 100% always looking for volunteers.
And what do they do? Sort of explain sort of the intake for volunteers and how they might be utilized.
So we have a volunteer liaison who's in the office, and she actively tries to recruit volunteers, different community events and things like that. And once someone expresses interest in that, then she meets with them, goes through kind of the criteria, figures out what the volunteer is comfortable with, whether that might be hands-on care, whether it might be more assisting in our office, kind of figuring out what they're interested in doing. And then, of course, there's a lot of, you know, checking and balancing that needs to go on, that sort of thing. And then they go through a training with us, and we talk about hospice philosophy, and we talk about confidentiality and those sorts of things so that they're well prepared when they're going into the homes.
And then monitored and follow up. They keep some, probably logs or some sort,
yes,
of, sort of report.
Yes, they have to return. Every time they're visiting a patient, they return a log to the volunteer liaison that tells about the visit. If there were any issues with the patient during the visit, they're reporting that immediately during the visit to the volunteer liaison so she can get in touch with the nurse. So there's a lot of communication that goes on in the office on a daily basis.
Boy, talk about an angel that gets involved and helps. Each one helps one better, you know, help direct help to a dying family. And the other thing is, you know how it's going to end. You know, it's not like volunteering in a chemotherapy ward where, you know, half the patients are nowadays, most of the patients are going to survive. nobody gets out of hospice without a sad ending, I guess.
People think it's a very sad ending and will often ask us, why do you choose to do this? I can tell you, I think anyone in our office who has done this would say that it is not the sad experience that everyone thinks that it is. It is a very enlightening, humbling, pleasant experience because we're helping people leave this world with as much dignity and respect as they did when they came in. And the people who are dying are really the people who focus on living. And they give you those little snippets of information about, oh, don't cry over spilt milk. You know, there's bigger things, you know.
Right.
So it's very satisfying and rewarding.
Yeah, what do you see after? You just see a hospice patient, then you see a political ad saying so-and-so's a dope or something. You'd be like, oh, isn't that immaterial?
Yes, it is very immaterial.
Kind of strange. Okay, so, we're just about out of time, believe it or don't. Boy, the TikTok clock is just going double fast. So let's kind of get back into how we can get in touch with you and review what you'll do with families. Maybe intake's not the right word, but how you'll start to help families.
So if anybody is interested or their physician has directed them for hospice care, they can get a hold of us either on the EVAN website or they can call us at 570-522-2550 and we'll have someone that will walk them through the process of how to get things started. There's also Medicare.gov has a website out there called Care Compare where you can go and you can shop to see those five-star ratings and kind of rate us against other hospices in the area and empower you to make the decision for what's right for you and your family.
Well, you'll probably join the growing number of individuals turned into Evangelical Community Hospital for great care, no matter what it is. So just super, super outputs and remarks there. Anything else to say I didn't ask you? I think we covered quite a bit here.
We did cover quite a bit. No, I don't have anything additional to add. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, well, thank you for coming in. We thank Deanna Hollenbach, who always serves as co-producer here to make sure that we get connected up with some of these great experts up at Evangelical Community Hospital. Kathy Pauls, a registered nurse, CHPN?
Certified Hospice and Palliative Nurse.
There you go. Okay. So, yeah, that's crazy. That's great. Great. It's easy to see why you've earned that superlative degree. So thank you for that. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Kathy Paul, registered nurse, director of hospice at Evangelical, evangelicalhospital.com/hospice.